I want to think back for just a moment to what Bill read to us from 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. When you hear this passage of Scripture, you have to understand that to be a Christian, you have to live the Christian life from beginning to end. Christianity is not an off again, on again religion. It is not something that you can come in and say, I want to be a child of God and obey the gospel of Christ and then just live as you please. God does not offer salvation to those who do not continue in the path that they began as children of God. Now, one thing that this understanding helps us to know is that the philosophy that's taught in the religious world of the once saved, always saved is simply not a part of God's teaching. This doctrine, it gives a lot of comfort to people because they think that they can just obey initially God and then just go out and live as they please and do what they want and they're saved and they'll always be saved and nothing can take it away from them. But we know the Bible teaches us differently. We learn from this text, Peter is tremendously concerned that Christians will fail and will fall into an area of what he called the false teacher. He was so concerned, in fact, that some of his strongest and most graphic languages is used, in, that he uses in the New Testament to brand false teachers that are among us. Now, you know, we can go home today and we can turn on TV or we can turn on the radio and we're going to hear false teacher after false teacher telling their doctrine what they believe God is wanting in their lives, and it's going to be so different than what you're going to hear from the Scriptures itself. And they are false teachers. But I have to tell you this morning, we did not invent that. It did not come along when mass media came along. And mass media has been with us for a while. Even old-timey radio was considered mass media. It's been with us for a long time. But we did not invent false teachers. If that had been true, Peter would not have addressed it here. Paul would not have addressed it many times in his writings. Jesus would not have talked about the false teacher if they didn't exist at that time. False teachers have always existed. There's always somebody out there that wants to do something different than the way God would have it done. So, Peter was very concerned about that. And what I want to do for this lesson today is I want to look at this passage of Scripture. And I want us to take a look at some of the things that he had to say about the false teachers of his day. And as we go through this, we're going to understand that the same thing is for us today as well. Now, the first thing that he says is that they had escaped the pollutions of the world. He is talking to false teachers who had at one time obeyed the gospel of Christ. They at one time had developed a faith in God and a faith in His Son. That faith had been developed to the point to where it had caused them to change their lives, to repent of their sins, and to change their way of living. They had confessed Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God, as their Savior. And they had been baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. Now we know that this has happened to these false teachers because we also know that obedience to the gospel is the only way to escape the pollutions and the defilements of this world. Only through Jesus Christ and obedience to His Word can we leave the world to begin with. And Peter is talking about people who have left the world at one time in their lives. The Apostle Peter tells us that we need to move from pollution to purity. And we do so by washing of regeneration. He talks about this in Titus chapter 3, beginning with verse 3. He says, "For we ourselves were once also foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Now, let's back up and look at that again. The very first thing he said, "For we ourselves were also once foolish." In this passage of Scripture, Paul is talking about himself. He lived a life of anger and hatred toward God and the Son, Jesus Christ. Or maybe not necessarily toward God, but toward New Testament Christianity. He said, "I did it." And in labeling himself, he is also including you and me. Because every one of us in this room who are New Testament Christians at one time lived worldly lives. Now you may say, "Well, I never acted like this." It doesn't matter. You are not in Christ. And if you are not in Christ, you are in the world. Because that's the only two places you can be. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, Paul tells us that one moves from being unrighteous into being washed, sanctified, and justified. Even at Paul's own conversion, we read in Acts 22 and verse 16 that washing away of sin is identified with baptism. And all of these people had been baptized that Peter's talking about. Acts tells us in 22:16, "Now why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So we understand then that the initial change is to go from sin to righteousness. And Peter is talking about people who at one time had moved from sin to righteousness. You know, when one goes back into the world, the typical once saved, always saved response would be, "Well, they never really was converted to begin with." That's what they say. But my friends, according to Peter, that's not true with these people. These people had been regenerated. These people had been washed. These people had been sanctified. These people had been justified. These people were at one time in every form a New Testament child of God. But they turned away from God. And they went back into the world. Now I wanted to be sure that everybody understands this or we can't go any farther. These people were at one time New Testament Christians. These false teachers, those who come in and change God's Word, at one time were faithful believers in Jesus Christ and in His church. It says that they had enjoyed the blessings of knowledge. They had the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not only had they obeyed the gospel, they had been participants in the truth. They understood Christ. They had known Christ to the fullest possible sense. They had known the blessings of being in Christ. They knew the assurances of being in His presence. And in order for us to enjoy faith in Christ to the fullest, we must desire to know Him, to understand Him, and to grow in Him. And of course, this involves an intense study of the Scriptures. As Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, we have to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We also understand that the Scriptures, God's Word, is profitable for us in every fashion, as Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16, that it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. These people were at one time complete. Yet, with all of this, they still turned away from God. Peter said they were again entangled. Now, how do you get to be somewhere again? You've been there before. And you've gotten out of there. And now you've gone back. These people were entangled in sin. They came to Christ. Christ received them. They obeyed Christ. Christ forgave them. Christ regenerated him. They washed him. All of these things took place for these people. The word entangled means to entwine. One writer suggests that it means to interweave. It suggests also a gradual process over a period of time. A gradual process. We have a phenomenon that goes on in our house, in our closet. My wife keeps a lot of her jewelry hanging in a jewelry holder in our closet. I'm going to talk about you, Pat, just a minute. And she will bring me 4 or 5 necklaces that have been in her closet in these little compartments. And sometime between the time she put them in there until the time she tried to get one out, they have just all messed up. They have all mingled together. And I mean, there's just one huge knot of chain after chain after chain. Anybody ever go through that other than me and her? Yeah. Aaron, will you please get this out for me so I can wear this one? And of course, it's on the bottom. So I usually wind up going, this is my method. I get me 2 little toothpicks. Y'all, this works. Toothpicks work. And I will take the little toothpicks and I'll work little by little. I'll have 4 or 5 lines running here and there until finally I find the bulk of the knot that's holding those chains together. And now I'm able to separate them. They have become totally, completely entangled. I don't know how they got that way, because when she puts them in there, she don't go back in there and mix them up. But they get mixed up just the same. I remember another story I'll tell you right quick. I remember when I was about 8 or 9 years old, I found an old jewelry box that had belonged to my sister. And it was broken, and so I continued to take it apart, and I found the music box. Y'all know they had the little girl that spins around, you know, and plays whatever it plays, I don't know. And you know how they work. When I got into the music box, there's a spool that has little tines on, little pins that protrude out from the spool. And as this spool spins, it spins around a little metal cone that each little tine on the cone makes a different sound. And it spins over and it plays the little song as the little tines are pushed. Well, that just fascinated me. So I'm spinning this spool around, playing this little song on this music box. And then I found out that I could take my fingers and I could pick each one of these little pieces and I could make my own sound. So I start doing that, and I don't know how it happened, but one of my fingers got caught in that metal cone. And no matter how hard I tried to get it out, it got tighter and tighter, and it was digging in under my fingernail, and buddy, let me tell you, I was in pain. So I go running into the house to get my daddy, and the first thing he does is laugh at me. And that wasn't funny, because I was hurting. He wound up having to get some wire cutters and cut off one at a time each one of those little pieces of metal that was sticking in my finger and laughing the whole time. I was entangled and I couldn't get out. I had to have help. Getting entangled is easy. Apostasy, falling away from God, can be easy. Usually, it's a gradual process, and many times it's not even noticed until it's already done. It usually starts out with, I can't come to church tonight because I'm tired. Or I've got something else that has caught my attention, and I really need to take care of this first. And you know, I just really want to stay home. And I just really don't want to get involved in this particular work because it's a little bit of an effort involved. And little by little, we work ourselves up to the point we may show up once or twice a month, or even less. We try to justify ourselves with our excuses, but you know what an excuse is? An excuse is a lie wrapped up in tissue paper. That's all an excuse is. But we develop that within us little by little by little. We reach that point. That's what can happen to us. It takes time. These false teachers have become entangled again in the world's web. Now we need to remember, at one time they had the liberty of Jesus Christ. They were free. But now they are again slaves. They're living their own desires. They're living their own lifestyle. And they have basically left God behind. Paul gives us a warning about that in Galatians 5 and verse 1. He says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." What is the yoke of bondage? Sin. And you can see how concerned Paul is in this verse here about those who were once free and now they're bound again. You know, one of the most interesting things that Peter said in our text this morning was this: the latter end is worse than the beginning. They were lost before they were free. They were free. Now they're lost again. How much worse can it be than being lost? You know, these Christians did it of their own free will. They left God, and now they're in a state of being lost. They had known the way of righteousness. Now, because they had known the way of righteousness, they could not claim ignorance, even though we know that ignorance is no excuse for disobedience. So now we know they had been washed. We know that they had known the Lord. We know that they had known the way of righteousness. And we know that they had walked in the way of Christ. They had done all the right things. Now, I want us to go back prior to our text to 2 Peter chapter 2 in the earlier verses. And I want us to notice here in verses 4 and 5 that God did not spare the angels who had sinned. God did not spare the wicked people in the days of Noah who had sinned. God did not spare the wicked people of Sodom and Gomorrah who had sinned. Now, there's something different about the sins of these people than the sins of those who have gone back into sin after having been freed. You see, the people in the days of Noah and the people in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah had never walked the paths of righteousness. So you see, they didn't forsake anything. They didn't give anything up to come to Christ, and then they didn't give Christ up to go back to where they were. They never left sin. Peter is plainly saying that these people left God. They did forsake something. They forsook the world to become Christians, and then they forsook Christ to go back into the world. That makes it worse than it would have been from the very beginning. You knew it, you understood it, you lived it, and then you left it. I wonder how many Christians there are who at one time were so zealous, who at one time were so filled with joy and the love of God in their lives, and then just let it all go and go back to the world. I wonder how many of them we may know who have done that. And I can't help but wonder, do we have someone here in this room today who has done this? You were free, and now you're not free anymore. And then this final thing that Peter says in this passage is the one that really hits home. He talks about the true proverb. He says it's the dog that returns to his own vomit, or the sow, having been washed, returning to her wallowing in the mire. My uncle used to raise hogs, and he had the mud pond in his pen, so the hogs would have somewhere to go, because the mud is cool, and in the heat of the Alabama sun, you need that coolness for your animals. So he prepared a hog mud pen for them, and they basically lived in that mud because it was cool. When he would get ready to take them to market, he would take them out of the pen, he would wash them down and put them on the scales to give him an idea about what he could get for them and what their value was. So he would wash them down, and then he'd put them back into the pen. And the most interesting thing happened when he'd wash them down, they're nice and clean, if you can get a hog clean. And just as soon as he put them back into the pen, do you know where they went? Right back to that mud. They were clean. They were washed. You could see the color of their skin. And they went right back to the mud. My friends, this is what happens to us when we leave God. We go right back into the mud. Kind of a sickening thought, isn't it? And I guess in that way, we're just like a bunch of hogs. My prayer is that none of us will face this reality in life. The way of righteousness, my friend, is the only course for us. It is the only way for us to live that we can see God and we can see the Son and be with Him. But to know it, to understand it, to live it, and to turn from it is a tragic end for what was a child. God. Don't let this happen to you. This morning, my friends, if you have left God, don't wallow in sin. Don't stay there and don't try to justify yourself and you had this and you had that getting in the way. Listen, my friends, there is not a situation on this earth that one can go through that can take him away from God. God will see to that. There is nothing that we face that God will not face with us. There is no trouble so hard, so tall, so strong, so belligerent that God cannot help us get out of it. But we have to keep Him in our lives for that to happen. Don't let this happen to you. And if you have, come back to God. He's already said He'll take you back. He will receive you with open arms. And this morning, if you've never obeyed the gospel, remember what Peter said about those who never obeyed? God did not spare them. And if you're not a Christian this morning, my friends, you are in that group. And He will not spare you either. So come today and give your life to Him. This morning, if you're subject to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.